I don't think it's ever been this bright in this building. Maybe it is so today because new fixtures and a lot of work and resource went into renewing the lighting that we use so that we might use our eyes well when we gather for worship. But the real light of the world does not come from an LED lamp, nor from a torch, nor a candle. The real light of the world is none other than Jesus the Christ. It is Jesus who is able to enlighten the hearts of human beings. It is Jesus who makes clear the values of the kingdom of God. It is Jesus who lights our way and is the lamp for our path. Even though brand new, and even though, as I often am saying to people, the first light bulb needs to be changed in this system, I will be not here. Definitely retired, and maybe even gone to God. But no matter how long it lasts, this too will pass. It is the way of the world. It is the way of creation. Even in our day and age, when we see a telescope that has been launched into outer space, millions of miles away from our island home here on Earth, and we see into time, we see galaxies and stars not previously seen by the human eye, we begin to think that perhaps we can even begin to see into the mind and the heart of God, as God spoke those first words of creation, "Let there be light." Because you see, light, physicists are telling us, is the quintessential energy in our universe. It is light that determines how far one thing is from another, and that in fact, we might begin to conceive that the heavenly places are not things that we can see with our human eyes, but are sheer light, pure energy. There is a rather dark television series that I won't tell you about the name of it because I really wouldn't encourage you to watch it. I did watch it. But in the course of that series, there is a discussion about death. This is one of those kind of zombie things. That's why we're having a discussion about death. And there's a fascinating understanding that one of the main characters has when he describes what he believes happens to us when we die. That in fact, even as our body returns to its most elemental form, as we lie in the earth, and we return to that earth from which we were made, we begin to understand that not only do we die, but the earth in which we are reposed will die as well. And someday, far beyond our human imagining, all of this will just explode into a mass of energy and light. And everything that we know in this world will return to what it was originally. Stardust. Stardust. That's what the Fermi telescope is telling us as we see in real time as distance allows and technology, how dust comes together. Pure energy begins to pull it together, and stars first are formed, and then the planets in their courses. and we start the cycle again. When we conceive of the resurrection of the body, as we will profess in a few moments, we often think of simply waking up and being the way we were before. But that is not the testimony of the Scripture. The Scripture tells us that we, once we pass from this life as we know it, that we, like Jesus, are eternally transformed and changed in a way we can't imagine. And maybe that's the key, is that we re-emerge as stardust. Well, but what about the promise? There is something about that. We could be very deterministic, and we could be very skeptical and scientific and materialistic about it, and reduce our existence to mere atoms and molecules. After all, that is the way of the world. Betty knew that more than anybody. That was her life's work. But there is something more. And that more is what we can't begin to comprehend. It is what we call the mind and the heart of God, which in fact is shared with us even now, here in this place. We have just a little taste of it when we look at ourselves and we see in our own eyes, our own bodies, thought, memory, reason, emotion, love. In these things, we see something much more than the simple interaction of molecules and atoms. There is something beyond the mere dust of stars that knits it all together in this unique way, which we call life. And it is that is the central mystery that we celebrate. Not simply looking forward to that day when we emerge changed and transformed, but rather realizing that all of this is for a purpose. And it is how we begin to fit into that grand scheme of God's purposes that gives meaning to our lives, meaning to the communities that we form, meaning to the families that we generate, meaning to simply being here. Arise, for light has shone. True, now we can see the hymnal, we can see the prayer book, we can see the worship aid in a way we could not see before. Take that for a moment and realize that you will be able to look at your own life, and in the light of Jesus Christ, you will be able to see things you never saw before. You will be able to see the way in which justice can reign in the world. You can see the way that love and tenderness can change and transform broken human hearts. You can see how the light of Jesus can change and transform even that which we count as evil. Because nothing is beyond the power of God. And that power is nothing more, but nothing less than the self-giving love that is taught to us by Jesus Christ. Our willingness to give up ourselves for the service of others, our willingness to dedicate ourselves to the pursuit of good, our willingness to do what we need to do to make this a better world. I count myself immensely fortunate to have known Betty for just a few years. Not as long as her children, and certainly not as long as George. But knowing her has changed my life. Knowing her has shown to me the value of light. Knowing her has encouraged me to want to do as the theme of our liturgy purports, to walk as a child of the light. All of us play that role in the world. All of us can touch others, some more, some less. But all of us who follow the Lord Jesus are called to a life of love and of service, which was the pattern of Betty Ross Connor. And it is for that purpose, then, that light shines in our darkness. Let the light of her life, as she has touched you, spark in your memory something that made you smile. Spark in your memory something that caused you to give of yourself to others. Spark in your heart the living flame of love, a flame which burns deeply and can change and transform and never consumes. It is that flame, the flame of love, that was at the center of her heart and is now the center of ours. Brothers and sisters, we look for the coming of Christ, to be sure. Perhaps not in our lifetime, perhaps not even as these stones still stand. But Christ will come, and all will be made new again. And maybe we will simply turn to stardust, but each speck of that dust is not mere dirt, mud from which we were made, but the stuff that makes the universe thrive and live. It is the stuff to which we are called in Christ Jesus. So as we dedicate these new lights in her memory, each time we see something new in this place, think of how we must look at our lives to see yet something else, something more, something deeper and broader, something which is of the love of Christ, which, as St. Paul promises us in his letter to the Romans, we can never lose. Nothing, neither height nor depth nor principalities or powers of this world, can separate us from the love of Christ. And so can we never be separated from those who have shared it in our hearts. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.